The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Silence at times like this can be extremely, extremely problematic. Not speaking up. And the temptation for me is to be silent in Tennessee.
This is Phil Nordstrom. He's a minister.
I pastor Life Church in Knoxville, also an Uber driver.
And that's how we met staff writer Andrew Morantz.
Technically, my thing was a Lyft, not an Uber. So you do both.
Yes, I ride. I drive for both Uber and Lyft, as most drivers in Knoxville do.
Well, even that has its political valences, too.
Absolutely.
At Life Church in Knoxville, most of the members vote Republican, and they support the president, which can be very challenging for Pastor Nordstrom, who does not. He and Andrew Morantz have been talking about how this intersection of faith and politics plays out day to day.
Sometimes I probably think I chicken out, but, this has been a time where it's been hard to chicken out, for instance.
Well, tell me about that. Tell me about what about this moment makes it hard to chicken out or makes that an internal conflict.
George Floyd, when the George Floyd incident happens, that was really important. I thought that we addressed that, and we did. I actually had one of my African-American friends come preach for me kind of the Sunday after that. And he preached a message called—the sermon title is I Can't Breathe. And it was just—it was powerful. It was uncomfortable. But saying nothing was not an option.
Right. Okay, so— tell me about some of these, the way these issues play out in the conversations you've been having. When you talk to people, either congregants or not, like how do these things come up?
Yeah, I honestly don't believe that the key to the future of the world is whether Biden or Trump are in office. I really feel like that's the huge mistake that we've made. And I'm so tired of hearing this is the most important election of your, this, everything's the most important thing that we've ever heard. And it's so critical. So in terms of my conversations with people, I'll be honest with people in a private conversation, but I'm not going to get up and use the pulpit as a bully pulpit to talk about the kingdoms of this world, because the kingdom of our God is, it works whether you're in communist, you know, Russia, it should work no matter where you are. So I had a conversation with a lady in my church who was, she was just saying something real pro-Trump and about how awesome it is for us as Christians that we have President Trump in office. And then it was like in that moment, she forgot that I wasn't pro-Trump, and she knew that. And she goes, oh yeah, I'm sorry. You're more liberal than that. For me, that light conversation, I kind of put a pause at that point, and I just said, wait a minute. It's not that I'm more liberal. I'm more conservative than that. To say that Trump, with his relationship with women, is pro-conservative values, that's not liberal, that's conservative. And she listened. She actually just kind of stopped at that point. But one of the strengths, I think, of our church is it is okay to have that kind of diversity. We're going for diversity of thought, diversity of race, and that's a lot harder than uniformity.
Have there been any times where it does kind of go off the rails ever? I mean, this is obviously a very heated moment, like people maybe.
So when I had my African-American friend preach for me, I did have one man stand up, walk out of the service. He walked out of the service. But then when we posted it on Facebook, he went so far to write underneath the comment, "White people matter." And then it was interesting. So I have a conversation after that with a couple African-American pastors. We're talking through it, and I talk about, hey, I had Chris Battle come preach for me, and this is what happened. And this older, wiser African-American pastor says to me, "We're not impressed with whatever discomfort you had to experience because you had that speaker. We've been dealing with this all our lives." I can hardly tell that story because it really showed me the privilege that I have and how just that little discomfort I felt from that is nothing compared to what's it like to be pulled over by a police officer and wonder whether you're going to come home that night or whether things are going to be safe or how you're going to be prejudged on that occasion. So I've had some really powerful experiences through this time. It's been
right. Well, then, and given how powerful that is and given how deeply felt that is, what do you say to the guy who walked out? How do you keep a pastoral relationship with that person? Because that sounds pretty messed up to me.
In his particular case, it would have done me no good to try to have a rational conversation. This is going to sound terrible for a pastor to say, but my honest feeling was don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you, you know. But honestly, he's come back. His brother quit our church at the beginning of COVID because we required masks. He's now back. They're back. But there's just an amount, a level of that you just sort of put up with. But I will say this, I actually have their ear and they're listening to me. And I think I have an opportunity to influence those kind of guys. And so I count that as a real privilege, actually.
Have you had any anecdotal experiences of people who you have seen change one way or the other, for him or against him?
Boy, I feel like a failure here. I honestly don't know that I've changed anybody's mind. That's a horrible thing to say. But I do think that I attract other people that love the Bible, love Jesus, but they don't get the Trump thing. And those folks are starting to say, wow, here, there's a safe place for us here. And I don't know that evangelicals feel that there's a safe place to go.
Have you heard other people around you talking about, you know, writing in a protest vote or, you know, voting for a third party? Or is that something that people in your neck of the woods are talking about?
Yes, I think that there would be, I think there'll be a group from our church that will vote for Biden. And then there'll be another group that will just write in a name of someone. Someone else, just kind of a protest vote. I'm not so sure that Trump will win this time. I mean, and that's going out on a limb for me. I think that there has been an erosion, even if I haven't seen it as much in my church. I think that there has been. I mean, I think we got to say something about Jerry Falwell and the ridiculous alliance that was there between him and Trump. And we should have seen the handwriting on the wall when he's encouraging his students to take shooting lessons so that they can get rid of those Muslims You know, when they, when, if they come in to do school, she, it's unbelievably non-Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm fired up.
No. No, go for it. I mean, yeah. Have you had any sort of recent conversations along these lines?
Interesting you asked. I just got a inbox yesterday. It was a lady in my church sent me a Facebook post quoting Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. And Caviezel was saying that Christian leaders, there are people in the of the faith, in your faith, Christian leaders are capitulating to their mayors and to their governors, and they are becoming lukewarm Christians. And it was warning against these kind of leaders. So like COVID is revealing who's weak and who's strong. Well, in that scenario, I'm the weak one.
And what is making someone like that send that to you? Is it that you've spoken out against Trump? Is it that you are iconoclastic? Or what are they thinking?
Sure, they talk to me about stuff on Facebook inbox, or I'll post things on Facebook. I'll probably even be a little more courageous on Facebook because I am a private citizen. So, yeah, they see me marching at rallies. But the rallies that I'm going to march in, I'm really trying to march with people that are lifting up Jesus through all this. My sign is going to say, let justice roll down like a river and righteousness like a mighty stream, because that's, to me, the rationale. We give Abraham Lincoln credit for saying a house divided against itself cannot stand. He's quoting Jesus. Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. You asked me the question about my inbox. I'm a little embarrassed about that. We ought to be having these conversations a little bit more openly in the lobby and all of those kinds of places. But the divisions are really strong right now. And those are walls that I'm committed to working to help break down.
Andrew Morant speaking with Pastor Phil Nordstrom of Life Church in Knoxville, Tennessee.